We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
NFL draft just hours away. Welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We have the one thing a team should not do tonight. Everyone's talking about what teams should do. Let's give a little solid advice here, Perloff, about what teams should not do, because mistakes are going to be made. That's just the way this kind of thing works.
Well, listen, I'm an Eagles fan. You're a Bills fan. We're both outstanding drafting teams. I don't know what these mistakes are, but so we're going to do it right now. Why don't you go first?
Okay, let's get to it. This is the one thing that a team better not do. And you know what? I'm going to go to my Buffalo Bills for this one, because I will be very disappointed if the Bills are the ones who make the big trade up for the wide receiver, mortgaging future draft assets to try to get up. And I'll also be disappointed if they're the team that comes in with the big wide receiver trade. Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, and let's give up first-round picks for wide receivers that you then have to pay $30 million on top of it. Did you guys see what's going on with Amon-Ra St. Brown yesterday? Signed that contract. He's getting $77 million guaranteed. I do not want the Bills to do that. Do not do that. Do not overreact to the Stephon Diggs trade. You can either take a receiver where you are at 28. You could even trade back and get a receiver in the second round, because here's why. For the Bills specifically, it's not necessarily about getting the best wide receiver in the draft. That would be awesome, but they're not picking high enough for a Marvin Harrison, right, Rome Odunze, or Malik Nabers. It's about getting the right wide receiver for a quarterback like Josh Allen. And that person has to be able to catch a laser coming in at 100 miles an hour from 5 yards away. And that person has got to be able to play in cold weather. And that person has to be a bad ball catcher. And that person has to have these certain skills that not every wide receiver has. They're all good in their own way. So to me, don't do this thing where you either mortgage future assets for a wide receiver and then have to pay that person a gajillion dollars. I want the Bills to be smart about this, and you can find receivers for Josh Allen in the first round or the second round.
So what if you could get all the way up for Marvin Harrison? Sounds like he could do that.
How many future firsts is that going to take? That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Somebody big tweeted that the Bills are dying to get into the Rome Odunze business.
No kidding. But at what cost? Because here's the other thing.
I understand what you're saying.
There's, you know, when you pay your quarterback, and everyone around the country, if you have a quarterback that's expensive, you understand what I'm talking about. You have to hit on these draft picks, and your draft picks become way more important when you're paying a quarterback. So to be giving away future draft picks just makes no sense to me. And I think the Bills want to desperately prove that the window's still open. Don't fall into the trap of having to feel like you have to, you know, prove something to anybody because Stephon Diggs got traded. So that's my plea to the Bills. Do not take the bait.
I'm looking at some of the receivers, and listen, it's not scientific, but it sounds like you don't want a warm weather, super fast wide receiver like Xavier Worthy out of Texas, who set the all-time 40 mark at the combine. So it feels like, to me, that's not the guy you're describing. You're describing Stephon Diggs, maybe just a little bit slower, but those hands, like pause. So you don't want the super fast, you know, go down on a 9-route kind of guy.
That's not when I think the Bills are actually at their best.
Yeah, yeah. But by the way, some of the guys who are mid-round picks are Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas Jr., who two of them are exactly what I just described, fast down the field, not huge guys. And then, you know, one receiver. What about A.D. Mitchell?
He
feels like big. Like, that could do it.
Too. I mean, champion at Georgia, and then played at Texas. They made it to the Final Four. Can he play in cold weather? Yeah. I think is a big question.
He seems like the one guy with the character assassinations left and right, though,
yep,
which
that's
is kind of, but that, no, I'm not saying that's true. I feel like he'll drop because of that, and somebody's going to get a great value. Okay, mine is, I'm going to go a little higher in the draft. The New England Patriots, there's a lot of trade talk that they have to take a quarterback, right?
So your advice of what to do don't
take a huge deal for number three and then fall back and miss your guy. So if, you know, I think there's a lot of speculation. If the Patriots did trade off of number three because Drake May was there and they don't like him and then got J.J. McCarthy at eight, I'm not enthralled with that plan. And the other thing is, what if they trade down to number eight and miss J.J. McCarthy, and then they're talking about a second, Spencer Rattler as their quarterback next year? I feel like the Patriots, if they trade that number three pick or playing with fire, just take Drake May, can just do it, right? Like, this is the obvious move. I don't care if the Giants call and say, I'll give you, you know, the sun, the earth, and the moon. Just stick at three, and I think they will do this.
Well, the Vikings might call and offer the sun too.
And I would almost not. The Vikings, so say you did a deal with the Vikings and you moved down to number 11, you might miss the quarterback altogether. If they don't come out of this with a quarterback and they have Jacoby Brissett as their full-time 17-game starter, I mean, what are you doing, New England? You have no chance for my guy, Jerod Mayo. Well, you're giving him no chance.
You also, what about your other guy, Bailey Zappe? Remember you were Zappe curious?
Yeah, I'm still Bailey Zappe curious.
Yeah.
But no, I love Bailey. I don't know why I like Bailey Zappe. Even I admit that this is it. receiving core, that is going to be tough for my guy Zappe. This is right. I think you agree too. You got to just take Drake May here. Just hand in the pick, go up to the podium in Detroit. Just do it.
So those are the two pieces of advice that Perloff and I have for teams picking in the first round. What you should not do on this day. So you mentioned J.J. McCarthy, and he's become one of the big kind of, do you love him? Do you not love him? He's kind of been, I would say, the polarizing guy, because he's not a very polarizing dude himself, but his, you know, what is he actually worth?
He's like the one piece of the draft that everyone has all over the place. It seems like the key. Where does J.J.? That's probably, to me, the biggest question. Like, where does J.J. go?
Right. So J.J. McCarthy was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday, and he was asked where he thinks he's going, and he appeared to get very honest with this answer.
I have somewhat of an idea. New York Giants, I've spent the most time with, you know, they're a phenomenal staff. Love Coach Dable, love, you know, Mr. Shane, love Coach Tierney, Coach Kafka, Chicago guy.
Okay, I mean, usually you kind of dodge that question a little bit. Oh, I've had great meetings with everybody. You know, I'd be blessed to go anywhere. I'm just excited about the day. I mean, he really zeroed in there. He's like, I think it's going to be the Giants. Now, this can get a little awkward if it ends up being, you know, the Commanders or something like that. And that's just a division rival, let alone anywhere else. You know, I think that if he was in New York, and if he's going to be that honest, then he's going to get burned by the media. That's number one. But two, you know, I don't know if I would have answered the question that way. Listen, he's a young guy. He's excited. I get it. But did he just tip the hand of the New York Giants? And by the way, would this happen at six? Or is this the Giants having to trade up? Because if the Giants would have to trade up to get him, now the price just came up. Because if I know that you're this desperate and I'm the Cardinals, well, now I'm asking you to throw in another late round pick. Or now I'm asking you to do a little something more for me.
Yeah, I see. To me, this doesn't guarantee anything. Like, the Giants might have told his agent that he's going, that they're going to take him. You know, that always falls apart.
Well, then the agent should have told him, listen, this is not binding.
Yeah, but so you're saying he'll be embarrassed if they don't take him. You know, the funny thing, too.
Especially, say he keeps falling and the Giants don't take him, and say there's some world where J.J. McCarthy is the new Aaron Rodgers and he's sitting in the green room into the 20s. Now that's going to look really silly.
Well, okay, so you look at mock drafts, and of course, there were guesses, but Peter Schrager always gets the Giants right for some reason.
Yeah.
He has him taking, he knows full well, he put it out this morning that J.J. McCarthy said that, and he put Malik Nabers, the LSU wide receiver, there. So to me, that says, ooh, it just like makes so much sense for me to me that they take a wide receiver, because you got Daniel Jones and you're paying him $40 million this year. Why are you bringing Daniel Jones 2.0? Because you're going to need, whatever you get the quarterback, you're going to need a receiver. The receivers stink.
Yep.
So to me, I just think there's so much logic that even after hearing that, I'm like, oh, I don't know that they're taking him. I really don't believe it.
We're talking about J.J. McCarthy basically came out of Rich Eisen and said he thinks he's going to the Giants. Never underestimate the Giants' ability to keep drafting Daniel Jones over and over again. Yeah, by the way. That's true. Never underestimate that. They are always looking for the next clone of Eli Manning. Like this right. is if you can talk like Eli and you can give a vibe like Eli, you will be winning major brownie points in that building. I know that from firsthand experience.
Right, but they also want to draft Odell again, and that's where Malik. I mean, the parallels are crazy to me. Malik Nabers, a speedster out of LSU, is literally the same exact thing as Odell Beckham. So I think they need another Odell more than they need another Eli. I totally agree with what you're saying, but I think there's a lot of logic to the receiver.
So the one thing about the Giants, they are, to me, we talk about teams that are desperate for quarterbacks right now. We talk about the Vikings, and we talk about the Denver Broncos, and maybe the Saints, or the Raiders, and maybe the Saints, but less, the Raiders. Teams that are desperate for quarterbacks going into tonight, I think the Giants are right there. I do think they're
like
desperate.
The Patriots?
Yeah, kind of. Because here's why. Daniel Jones is coming off of an ACL injury and has previously had a neck injury that has kept him out for more than half a season. He is a runner. He's a runner. I mean, that's and he gets hurt when he runs. He has not been able to protect himself. That's been proven. Now, we have a long track record now with Daniel Jones getting hurt. So to me, all right, you brought in Drew Locke, I guess, behind him, and you still have Tommy DeVito there and Tommy Cutlets, but you do need a quarterback. And that contract that they signed Daniel Jones to, while it was the eye-popping number of $40 million, this is basically the last year of it. So I don't want to go into next year when I literally don't have anybody and think, oh my gosh, I've got to get a quarterback in a class that's not projected to be as good as this one.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I just think they are more desperate for wide receiver. I mean, here's the starting Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, and they got your guy Isaiah McKenzie. I mean, that's bottom three or four in the league, a receiver. So you bring in a quarterback, it's like a Bryce Young situation in Carolina. You're totally screwing him over. And he probably won't play this year anyway.
Now, EJ thinks the Giants are using J.J. McCarthy as a pawn in the 3D chess that they are playing with the media.
Yeah, this is potentially... I mean, I don't know if it's brilliant because I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is going to work in New York. But this is actually potentially brilliant work by both J.J. and the Giants. Because if J.J. is willing to go out on a national publication and say, I know I'm going to the Giants and I love their coaching staff and I love their guys. They got Chicago guys on the staff. This is great. That's where I want to go. Well, won't that make it a lot harder for another team to who may already kind of be on the fence about this guy? I mean, the guy threw for, what, 2,500 yards in college last year. Maybe a little harder for them to say, hey, I'm willing to trade up for a guy who's willing to go on national TV and say he wants to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So if you're the Giants, you say, hey, go out there and say you're going to be a New York Giant so we don't have the Vikings or we don't have the Broncos or one of these teams going up there to trade up for you and let you fall right to six. He ain't going in the top two, probably ain't going in the top three. Let him fall right to six, and we don't got to give up nothing.
Right.
I think that this potentially could be a genius move by the Giants.
But if you're the Broncos, I don't think they do, but if you're the Broncos and you want J.J. McCarthy.
What do you care?
Wouldn't you trade up to four because of what he said? I think it's the opposite.
No, because I think because it works the other way. I'm sure J.J.'s people behind the scenes could be telling Denver, look, man, he wants New York. So.
Oh, yeah, but it could be. Him saying that means if you're right, you could say, oh, the Broncos and the Raiders and the Vikings say, oh, man, we got to get to four because he's getting taken at six.
Also, I might
could end up hurting them if they really wanted him.
Yeah, I would call J.J. McCarthy's bluff that you think you have the power to manipulate, like Eli Manning did, to get himself to New York as opposed to going to the San Diego Chargers.
They absolutely should. Because remember,
I don't think he's got that kind of leverage.
I don't think he does either. But I mean, look, this worked for the Kobe Bryant and his agent way back in 1996 when they kept telling Nets, hey, man, he wants to go to the Lakers. He does not want to go
you
there.
You pick him, he's not going to show up.
Yeah, so
zero of that. You really think J.J. McCarthy is going to do a Kobe Bryant? Come on, really?
This is pro sports. It ain't about J.J.
J.J. McCarthy?
There is no agent that is above this kind of thing. You guys know that, and I know that. There is no agent in sports that's above that. So J.J. may not be. He don't have to do it. He can go and just speak his heart. His heart is that he wants to be a New York Giant.
Right.
He didn't bash those other teams. He didn't say anything about anything else. He just said, I love the New York Giants.
Yeah.
And that's where I think I'm going.
But it makes no sense. Why would anyone want to be a New York Giant? The team stinks.
It's New York.
He would definitely want Minnesota.
New York Giants are one of the premier organizations in the NFL when it comes to image, when it comes to like, it's more than the Minnesota Vikings. I'm sorry.
No, I think that at one point was true. I don't think that is true right now for the Giants. Now, there's like the legacy franchises that are always be, you know, like the Steelers and the Green Bay Packers and stuff like that. I think the Giants at one point were on that wall, and they've just been god-awful franchise lately. They've been just like everyone else. They're cycling through head coaches. They're not able to find a successor to Eli. I mean,
when Eli moved heaven and earth to get the Giants, they were also on very down times. Yeah. They went to Super Bowl in 2000, but besides that one year, they got killed in that Super Bowl. And besides that one year, they were really bad during that stretch. Well, and he still looked at them and said, this is a legacy organization. Well, I don't see why JJ would do the same.
I think that was also, and I don't want to go to the Chargers. I think there was two things.
Right. Do you want to go to the Broncos or the Patriots right now?
Well, I don't
want to go to the Patriots.
JJ, you know, he's definitely like, even in that quote he said about the Giants on the Rich Eisen show, he talked about, oh, I love this coaching staff because they have a Chicago guy. He loves Chicago. So he's not like, I don't think he's obsessed with New York in any way whatsoever.
Oh, that's interesting because he's from Evanston, Illinois. Yeah,
and I think he was talking about either Kafka or one of the coaches. He's like, ah, he's a good Chicago guy. So I feel like
he called the general manager Midwestern Mr. Kafka. Guy. I mean, I think,
Mr. Shane. Here's the other part of this. If you think that Giants coaching staff is going to be here, you're fooling yourself. I mean, this again, the Giants have become like everyone else. You know, they're,
I think they're worse than everybody else. They are non-desirable.
They were one of the worst teams in the NFL.
They've been a decade. I think them and the Jets have had the worst two records in the league, right?
They have. And they've done the same thing. The bad head coaching hires, the bad draft picks. Now, listen, things are looking fine this year. They traded for Brian Burns. That's exciting. You got Kayvon Thibodeau. He's exciting. But you have not figured out the quarterback situation. Anyway, so that's what's going on with the Giants. And J.J. McCarthy getting very honest about he wants to go to the Giants. EJ thinks it's the quarterback and team sort of in cahoots together to try to get him to New York. I think Broloff and I think this was a little more like, ooh, you might have hurt yourself.
No, I don't think it, I'm sorry. I think it's totally irrelevant. I think it's 0 point. I think the teams know what they're doing. I think the decision was made a long time ago, long before this quote. I don't think the Giants probably see this and probably laugh at it. I think it has no impact whatsoever. Maybe I'm naive, but I think the Giants already made the decision long before JJ made this call. Honestly, I think they still could go receiver. I understand what you guys think. Their core. I think they have a little crush on Daniel Jones, which is weird to me. They can't let that guy go. I think they secretly want him to succeed.
They can't quit that guy. In the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Of course, you can always download the absolutely free and crystal clear Odyssey app. It's a beautiful user experience. It's awesome. We would not steer you wrong on that. Also, SiriusXM channel 158. But our pal Daly is in the chat. He said, this Vikings fan is still wondering, does McCarthy equal Christian Ponder?
Got a huge Ponder vibe out of him. And by the way, Bo Nix looks exactly like Jake Locker. I know you got the Jake Locker, Christian Ponder,
like
Blaine Gabbert.
Like physically or his hair, face?
He's got the same haircut. Haircut as Locker coming out of. So basically in that draft that he's talking about, Locker went 8 to the Titans. Blaine Gabbert went 10 to the Jags. And then Christian Ponder, they needed a quarterback, went 12. And then my guy Andy and Kaepernick went in the second round. But this does feel a little bit, you're of this school that maybe teams are overdrafting quarterbacks because they need a quarterback.
Definitely.
And maybe I'm in the opposite school. I think these guys are so much better than, say, the Mac Jones draft. These are way better prospects than Mac Jones and Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Zach. We've seen so much more of these guys and Zach. It's going to be 4 Pro Bowlers in this. I'm telling you, I know that sounds crazy. There are 4 Pro Bowlers who are about to be drafted tonight, Maggie.
Okay, well, as far as how many QBs are going to be taken in the first round, that is a very special interest to this show specifically because there is a show bet on the line. Got a little update to that show bet and who is going to be running the Gassers with Pete Bilotti at the whistle. Get to that next. 855-212-4227, Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. So EJ and I have had a show bet on how many quarterbacks will go in the first round of the NFL draft tonight. The Vegas over-under is 4.5. Now, EJ, I just pulling up 7 a.m. today, our good buddy NFL Network's Peter Schrager put out a mock draft. He has number 1, Caleb Williams to the Bears. Number 2, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. Number 3, Drake May to the Patriots. Number 7, via trade, J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings. Then he's got Bo Nix, 12, to the Broncos. Michael Penix, 13, to the Raiders. That's 6 in the top 13. So I am a generous person.
Oh, okay.
I have a huge heart, and I'm going to give you an out. If you want to do a sprint in the studio with Pete Bellotti whistling at you to get out of this bet, I would do that.
Whistling at you? I thought Pete was holding the whistle.
Yeah, whistling at you sounds a little weird.
Yeah,
look at those calves.
Get off those blocks.
I would accept this because I think we're getting at least five. And probably
what
six.
What am I going to do? What am I going to stand there? Oh, hey, you're going to sprint.
Yeah. Now, the caveat about this is I'm out of the bet. So if it goes under, I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'm winning this. I think, yeah, you can cash out on this. I'd prefer not to run 100 yards.
It's up to Pete, though.
Yeah, no, wait a minute.
No cash outs.
Thank you.
What are we doing here? No, none of this get out of jail free cards. I mean, come on.
Look, it's still embarrassing. I'm running in a studio like an idiot, and there's it looks like a football field out here anyway with the turf and the weird carpet we have.
You're
it'll
not
be fine.
The first person that's done it. We had about 15 people that have run down this hallway.
Yeah, it's not unique enough.
Yeah, I mean, no, this is not changing at all. This is the bet. The bet is on.
I think what we should do is we take it out to the street. And we, you know, block off a street in New York City because people love that.
Do we have the capability of doing this?
Listen, a couple cones and people who are cursing and acting like they know what they're doing, you could block off the street in New York for a couple minutes. And EJ has to do the wind sprints there if he loses. Or if Perloff loses, then you've got to do it.
Okay, can I be honest here what I'm doing? Report that has me nervous. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little nervous.
That you are going to have lose the bet because fewer than 4.5 are going to go.
Schrager's a great mock drafter. A lot of mock drafts have these guys. But then there's one person, and I think you know who this is, who's not mock drafting as much as saying what he knows. There's one guy who knows who everyone's going to pick. His name is Jay Glazer.
Yep, he does.
Jay Glazer apparently said on a show yesterday, and it was just one offhand comment, 13 feels a little rich for Michael Penix.
That's not news.
I
like Michael Penix a lot, but that's not news. I mean, he's been a second round quarterback with a second round grade this whole time.
Well, here's the problem. That means that I don't want to sit there and stress and hope that somebody trades into the back end of the first round to make that fifth quarterback. I need him to go early, or my blood pressure is going to be through the roof because I do not want to run gas.
That before you,
I do not want. I think that there's going to be more than 4.5. But now that Penix could fall because Jay Glazer said it's going to happen, I am worried. By the way, that being said, Dan Graziano said the Giants might jump on Penix at 6. And then Schefter said that the Falcons like Penix at 8. So there's all sorts of crazy speculation on Penix. But then Jay Glazer says that.
You are an encyclopedia of who said what.
I know every name of mock draft. I'll tell you exactly where the quarterbacks have them. But
honestly,
I just
Perloff would crash his car to read a mock draft. Like, please stay safe out there.
Jeremiah had Penix, I think, at 13, and Bo Nix at 22. But you have to admit, like, I don't want to sit there. If we get past 13, the Raiders are the last team that needs a quarterback, and they have not taken Bo Nix or Michael Penix. That's a sweaty night for me.
Right, and a great one for the rest of us. Right. That is the thing. I couldn't care less about you running for the most part. I want to be in that spot where we're on 4 and we're going in the last 90 minutes of the draft wondering if someone is going to swoop back in. That's what this is about.
What if it's 28 or something? And your Bills are there and they're like,
they're not taking them.
A trade has been announced. My worst would be, I need a quarterback to go. A trade has been announced. And with the 29 pick, the Denver Broncos select Tyler Guyton or some like interior lineman. I would die.
That's great TV.
Yeah. No. So I, Maggie, you know how stressful these things are. Losing a bet sucks.
Well, especially because the payoffs are kind of big around here.
And by the way, running Gassers and Bilotti's the worst
thing. I also
feel
like, for my own sake, and I know Perloff made his Wimby bet early. I mean, this was like, what was it, February? Like,
and it's
early.
Finally here.
It was early in the draft process where I'm like, I think it'll be 4.
Excuses. Pete, what do you got?
Well, I could change the exact things you will be running if that helps.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
What do
you got? What do you got?
A mile.
Instead of running gassers, you guys can do the pre-practice drills that I used to run in middle school.
What are those?
Okay. You had to run like little bricks up.
This sounds dangerous.
I don't tell you what they are.
Where do you, was your middle school particularly ruthless? Did you go to military school?
North Korea.
That
doesn't make sense.
Is this Oklahoma drills with Peter Schwartz? Is that in the offing?
No, Peter Schwartz is not involved. Before practice, we had our drills that we ran for football. So You could either do that or run gassers. So pick one.
A little hit the ground.
But I'm not telling you what they are.
Up,
but what's the upside of not knowing what they right. are? Doesn't make
it could,
sense.
It could be
light.
Light.
Kind of fun for us.
Could be a jog.
Right. Maggie, like, what do you want? Because one, either me or EJ is going to have to do this. Which would you prefer to see us struggle?
I mean, now I kind of want you to do the Bilotti Middle School drills. I want the up downs.
I'd rather just do the gassers. It's short. It takes they're painful, but they're short. You do them for a minute and it's over.
I would take. Wait, you don't want to run a mile?
No.
See, that's the easier one.
No, I'm not doing long distance.
I want the Bilotti drills.
Can't do long distance.
I want the Bilotti drills. Gassers are hard because I have a sprained MCL, so I can only do limited things. So I would prefer the drills.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
Which is easier, Pete?
He's not telling
you. I'm not telling you. That's the part of the whole thing.
All right. By the end of the show, we've got to get that nailed down.
You know what? We should have Bogish and Maggie decide this.
All right.
What?
What was the original bet?
What?
The original setup was perfect.
Well, the other thing could be perfect, too.
Well, listen, if it's me and Bogish making this decision together, y'all are doing both.
Immediately.
The evil duo.
I don't have a problem with that either.
We got headlines we have to get to.
By the way, we change the terms of we tweak every single thing about every bet.
Not
try
you
to make,
eating chili. That you put your face in.
Yeah, but there's always a detail that makes it worse, like how much cheese was on the chili. That was hard because I could have lost an eye.
I forgot about the whole cheese.
Yeah, no, there's always like, remember the peanut, I had to eat a jar of peanut butter. Was it going to be chunky? Was it not going to be chunky? You had to eat jelly. How much sugar content? Because you were worried about your figure. And so you went organic. Like that made any difference?
I still went into some kind of shock.
Yeah. You're like, don't worry. It's healthy. It's organic. You just ate a jar of jelly. You're a mad woman. It's
like, you just put down 16 ounces of it.
It's organic. Good. That's like
it was a fruit spread.
It's a little like ordering two Big Macs and a Diet Coke.
Right.
There,
you just get a different type of diabetes.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, I'm not sure which type.
More organic diabetes.
Yeah. Okay. Headlines.
Well, as Infinity Sports Net NBA insider Andrew Perloff said so smartly this morning, the Pelicans could really use Zion Williamson.
Yeah. Someone was missing last night.
You should be doing hits around the country for that.
Move over, Shams. Here comes the NBA analysis.
They did survive the play-in without Zion. They did push the Thunder in game one of this series as well. But game two, not so much.
Shea giving the ball. Drives right. Blows by Marshall. Lays up and in a gorgeous right-hand layup. Gives Alexander with 28 on 11-17 shooting. He's spectacular.
And he's got two working hamstrings. Matt Pinto, Thunder Radio, SGA, 33 points in the 124-92 route. Only one worse playoff loss in Pel's history. Here's head coach Willie Green.
Tough one for us. Give them credit. They took care of home court. It was a dominant win from them, so we'll get home. We'll regroup and get back after, but tough, definitely a tough loss.
The Heat fared much better in their game two in Boston, stealing a split with a 111-101 surprise, Miami hitting a postseason franchise record 23 threes, six of them from Tyler Hero, who scored 24 points. He can't coach football right now, but he can talk about it. The long-rumored agreement with Bill Belichick and Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions is just about done, according to The Athletic. Belichick will be a recurring guest, not every time, on the Manning cast. And right, we're going to see him tonight with Pat McAfee during the draft as well?
Yeah, he'll correct. Be. I think tonight could be good because if he actually gives away a little of his strategy and what he used, you know.
Yeah, so other teams would not do that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it worked for the 18 years before that. But
the N'Keal Harry strategy? That's mean, but the dude has been on a cold streak.
But the Manning cast thing, I don't think is going to be that awesome because I think it's hard with three Zooms. You know, it's tough enough that Peyton and Eli.
So it doesn't matter who it is. You're saying just the logistics, the setup is not ideal.
I think it's a little tough. I think Peyton and Eli, if I could reimagine this, and I know they're both busy and they won't do it, but they should be in the same room together.
Wait, he's not going to be on the whole time with them, right? He's just once a week. What's
he'll be
the deal?
Like a guest, just like everyone else.
He'll be a guest, right.
Right, and not the whole time and not every single episode, but he'll be there throughout the season.
He's going to pop in. I don't know if we're going to get the same thing.
A little pop-in action?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Listen, Belichick's going to give us something tonight, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to him. Whether he wants to play the game or not, it's up to him. It's there. Like, he's got things to offer if he wants to offer it. And if he really cares about trying to win back any kind of affection, respect, whatever from us in the league.
Listen, I know it's a little insider because it's our business, but that ESPN article that dropped that said basically Robert Kraft shivved Bill Belichick behind his back and went to the Falcons and said, you know, you don't want to hire this guy. I think that it did garner a little sympathy for Belichick. I don't know if that was correct, but it garnered a little sympathy. Maybe now he feels like he is going to get back in. They said they said all three NFC East teams outside of, Philly?
Not
outside
Washington.
Of Washington. Not Philly, New York, and Dallas would all be, might be interested.
Do you think, who's going to be better, Nick Saban on game day or Bill Belichick in this new role?
Belichick.
Yeah, Saban, I don't have high hopes for him saying anything.
See, I think Saban's going to be better because game day is such a great show.
Right, it's great because Lee Corso puts on a mascot head, not because Nick Saban dryly talks to the camera about
it. Exactly. Nick Saban will start doing that now.
But that's the other thing. Will he get wacky? You need to be wacky on game day.
No, McAfee's wacky.
The interviews that you've heard so far, I'm convinced that Nick Saban will have a different side to him on this. He'll be a good analyst, but also give you something a little different than we've seen from him before.
I think he takes himself too seriously. I think everyone on that show, like, that's like, you can't take yourself seriously on that show.
Yeah. But I like what Maggie said. Maybe McAfee takes the sort of gesture role a little bit, but
yeah, he's the goofy one. And then you have game day, is just, it's so much about the atmosphere. Like the best character on game day, no offense to Lee Corso, no offense to Pat McAfee, but the best character is the crowd. You know, the look of it, the signs, how big of a deal it feels like. It's really just a regular pregame show, but because of how it's the production of it is so incredible. That's what elevates it to an all-time great show.
But you got to play with the crowd, though. We'll save it and acknowledge him. And the other thing, too, is they do have Corso, and they do have the celebrity picker at the end. I mean,
is Corso still going to be there, though?
Well, no. That's what I'm saying. They've had Corso.
Yeah,
I mean, he's getting way older. But, I mean, listen, Saban's not young either. I'm not sure I totally agree with that. I think they do need characters. Because also, that celebrity picker at the end is a big deal, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's not going anywhere.
But you're right. The crowd is amazing. I just don't know if Saban interacts with that crowd or has fun, or maybe does he actually make the whole thing feel less fun? He might be great. I mean, he's obviously a smart guy. But I disagree with you. I don't think Belichick gives you anything tonight. I'll bet you we come in tomorrow. We should discuss this tomorrow. Did Belichick give you anything real that you really found entertaining?
What would be anything real? Because I don't want him giving away like what the Patriots have done. That wouldn't be anything for me. I want him to say, like, hey, this is going to be great because of this reason, or this guy needs to work on this thing that nobody's talking about.
That's what it is. Honest opinion and evaluation on players.
If he gives me that, I'm good, because I don't think we get that as often as we think we do when he comes to these evaluations.
You're not going to get much on the organizations because he's still looking to coach. You'll get the players.
You think, like, Bill Belichick saying Joe Alt has a long reach is interesting? I'm not sure.
No, I think not necessarily long reach, but, like, again, it'd be something about that he's done the scouting work on that I think that these other guys maybe won't know because they're not doing the exact work that someone like Bill Belichick's doing.
Right. This pick is a reach. This guy can't play in the NFL. This guy can play in the NFL. He's too low.
Yeah, but is Bill going to give you that if he's coming back to coaching? I'm not so sure.
I think you get more of that than you get of him bashing an organization.
Thank you, Bogish, for that update. Coming up, we check in with one of our absolute favorite mock drafters and draft analysts, getting you set for the first round tonight of the NFL draft. Don't move, Maggie.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one,
They're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Perloff, welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, the draft, first round, hours away. And this is where we have to check in with our guy, Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, our favorite mock drafter ever. Ryan, thanks so much for the time. Good morning.
Good morning, Maggie. Good morning, Perloff. How are you guys doing on this wonderful draft day?
Oh, nothing better. Draft day. Woke up, had the Vontae Mack posted on my fridge. You know what I do, Ryan.
Do you have your kicks on from Las Vegas, Perloff?
Yes. Perloff's favorite shoes that he bought at a fancy sneaker store in Las Vegas. No, that's Perloff's version of the Ray Lewis entrance is what he just did there. That's how excited he is. Ryan, we got to start here with something a little personal to the show. It's a show bet between Perloff and EJ about whether or not 4.5 quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. Perloff says over 4.5. EJ says younger. Win sprints are on the line. What do you think?
Oh, God. Knowing that, I would be praying for the under, but I think the over is going to hit. The wild card is going to be Michael Penix Jr. And I've seen a couple of mock drafts this morning from Daniel Jeremiah and Peter Schrager, Bo Nix in the first round. I would be shocked if Bo Nix made his win in the first round, but it's not like DJ and Traeger are lightweights. They know what they're talking about. So this is going to be fun. And if Bo is in there, that gets you to six, you feel like. I think most teams have Penix ahead of Bo. And the other math you're doing is when I was talking to teams last week as we were full on the smokescreen, I got a lot of, Michael Penix Jr. is great value in the second round. And my follow-up was always, well, why don't you, take him in the first round? He's such great value there. So I think I would be shocked. And I talked to Roma Dunze at the combine. I talked to Troy Fautanu, who's going to be a first round pick, the Huskies left tackle last week. And they were both like, why are we not talking about Penix as one of the best players in this draft? Why are we talking about day two type situations? I think the over and 4.5 hits. And I think maybe even the more interesting question, guys, is, it seems like the steam is coming out of the J.J. McCarthy train, and he's not Will Levis, but there's no longer talk of him going top five. I still think he's going to be a top 10 pick just because of the need at the position.
Well, I was going to ask
Ryan. He was the guy who I thought was going to be the Will Levis of this draft.
Ryan, do you think the Vikings could wait to 11 if they really want McCarthy or the Broncos at 12? Do you think he honestly could be in play at those spots, or do you think someone's going to have to do a little jump up to get him?
Well, right. So 11, 12, and 13, if you're worried about Minnesota. I heard the Seahawks sniff around Michael Penix Jr., so there's another conversation to be had there. They go wild, too, at times with the draft picks that don't necessarily follow what Commissioner Wisdom thinks. Maybe at 11, I just think you're risking it, but I think it's funny that we've come full circle where we were all trying to figure out, I know Maggie, you've been talking about this a lot, trying to figure out why are we talking about J.J. McCarthy's top five pick, and then you talk yourself into it, and then the moment arrives, and everyone's like, well, you know what, maybe we should stay at 11 and just see what happens. I think also I've heard that the Vikings love Drake May, and they're going to try everything in their power to get to number three. And then, the Patriots at three are going to be in the catbird seat because they can fix that roster at everywhere but quarterback if they feel comfortable with it. Maybe they think about a Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix later. But there's so much in my latest mock draft, which is going to come out hopefully in mullets. I was up to 11 p.m. and I have seven trades in the first round. I was just I couldn't stop, and it's a problem.
What happens with teams like New England, Minnesota, Denver, who don't really have a big time starting quarterback? Can they afford to come out of this draft without a QB? Doesn't that put pressure on them to take somebody?
I've heard that Minnesota, the expectation is that they're getting a quarterback from the people who write the checks. So I think that would be a worst-case scenario. There have been reports that Kwesi, the GM, wants to keep pick 23. They traded back in the first round a few weeks ago. That probably isn't realistic if you're moving up to three or four or five. Denver, meanwhile, so that's a little more interesting. They lost all the draft compensation because of the Sean Payton acquisition and the Russ Wilson acquisition. And since, reassigning to Pittsburgh, I think they might be in on JJ should he slip a little bit. The reports, and I've had people tell me this as well, that Jaden wants to play for Vegas. He likes that idea, but I think two is going to be where Jaden Daniels goes aboard. So unless something insane happens that we're not even talking about. I think that the thing is going to be Minnesota and Denver perhaps making the biggest move for JJ, unless there's a mystery team that we're not even considering later in the draft.
Ryan Wilson is joining us. CBS Sports does a fantastic job. Mocks are a must. And joining us here and carving out some time on this very, very busy day. Okay, in terms of teams at the top, you mentioned trades. Like, this could be a trade bonanza tonight. Where does the first one start? Do you think someone is trading with the Arizona Cardinals who have said they're open for business? Does it start with the Chargers at five? You know, where do you think our first trade is happening?
I think the Vikings are going to try really, really, really hard. And you could also throw the Giants in there to get to number three. I think both those teams really like Drake May. And I think that's where it starts. Now, I was talking to my buddy Rick Spielman about this. I said, what do you think the chances are the Patriots going off that pick? We were at dinner last night. He said, I said 20%. He goes, maybe a little higher. So maybe there's a chance. But realistically, Maggie, I think you're right. I think at four, we know Arizona and Lonnie Rosenport aren't afraid to move up and down the board. And then at five, the Chargers, I had them taking J.C. Latham, but I had them trading down to get J.C. Latham with Joe All still there. So that would be a situation where perhaps they trade down if offensive tackles where they want to go, especially on the right side. So I think that's about right. I think if the Giants aren't able to trade it from six, they may just stay put and take a Malik Nabers, for example. And then I think the Saints are going to trade up from 14. I think the Eagles are a team that people are talking about trading up to get a cornerback. And I think even all the way down the board, and I'll throw you guys a fun one here. Brock Bauer slips for me, not because he's not good, just because of the position. I had the Panthers trading back up to the bottom of the first round to get Brock Bauer.
Love that. Okay. I have a question that is going to be kind of boring for everybody. I think it's a thing that's going to be boring tonight.
Wow, what a setup.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of left tackles. Okay, we all know this. We're all a smart football team, but we all have that casual fan of us who wants to see our team take a skill position player. But is this really, are we going to see like star left tackles go in this draft? And our team's going to trade up? And should you be excited if you're a fan who gets to dive into this class, which everyone says is good at tackle?
Look, if I'm the Chargers, I'm a Chargers fan, and I want Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison if he's there somehow, and Jim Harbaugh takes J.C. Latham from the right tackle, I get why you would be frustrated, especially when you lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. But the other side of that conversation is you have Rashawn Slater left tackle, you have Zion Johnson at right guard, and now you have the bookend at right tackle, or left guard, left tackle, excuse me, now you have the bookend of J.C. Latham at right tackle. And Justin Herbert is going to be in the best situation he's ever been in terms of protection, and they were going to run the ball anyway. So you should feel really good about that, because the fact that Justin Herbert's 6'6 and 240 and struggled to stay on the field at times because he's taken such a beating, that's worrisome, especially in that division where you have to have your franchise quarterback on the field. So I get that it's not sexy, but it has to happen. I think Saints fans have come to the realization that not only did Trevor Penning not work out at left tackle when they traded for him a few years ago, they know that Ryan Ramczyk's knee is not where it needs to be, and he's not 100% to play this season. So I think they're all in on going to get an offensive tackle. Steelers fans the same way. Yeah. What's going to be interesting, guys, is if Brock Bowers is there at 18, and what do the Bengals do? I heard they're leaning offensive line over Brock Bowers, but I would imagine a lot of Bengals fans love the idea of Brock Bowers being more of a weapon for them in the middle of that field.
Ryan Wilson is joining us from CBS Sports. He is their draft guy, does such a good job on TV, writing for the web, mock drafts, of course. You know, Ryan, we're only got a couple minutes left here, but, you know, there's always going to be a surprise. Remember last year was like, wait, the Lions are taking Jack Campbell, and I think maybe the Packers, like Lucas Van Ness. You know, there's a guy who's like, why are they taking him this high? Who's going to be that guy this year? Because there's going to be one where, even if Belichick's not involved in this draft anymore, there's always going to be one guy who we didn't have going this high. Who could that be?
I think it sort of spoiled it earlier. I got to become a better storyteller. I'm Seattle and Michael Penix Jr. So they have the offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, came over from the Huskies. He's on the staff now at Seattle. They have the offensive line coach as well from the Huskies. Geno's 33. He'll be 34 when the season begins. He has 1 year left on his deal after this one. And I wonder if this is one of those things. And as my buddy Rick Sturman mentioned, last year the Seahawks were talking up all the quarterbacks, and they obviously didn't go that direction. They took Devin Witherspoon and JSN. And this year there's been crickets. So maybe Michael Penix Jr. might be have a, you know, a 5-minute drive to work from where he currently lives. So that's going to be my curveball. Does it happen? You know, 5% chance, but it's fun to talk about.
How about I'm just going to ask for both of us, Eagles and Bills. A lot of people are listing them as trade teams. any chance the Eagles get up high enough to get a good cornerback? And I'm going to ask for Maggie.
No, don't.
Yeah, do the Bills pull off a Julio Jones and get way, way up for a wide receiver?
I know we're short on time, but Maggie, do you want to go that high up for Buffalo?
I do not. I do not want them to mortgage future assets to do that. They did it with Sammy Watkins once upon a time, and it didn't work out.
2014. No, that was a tough draft. Odell Beckham was in that draft. No, I'm with you. I think if you move up a couple spots, that's fine. I had them taking A.D. Mitchell at 28 over Xavier Worthy. I love both players at that spot. And then in terms of Philly, Perloff, I had them moving up four spots to get Terry Arnold. He somehow fell to 18. It's crazy. I can't believe this is going to be public. I think they're going to move up, and they'll get a really good corner if they have that opportunity.
Ryan, thank you so much for getting up early for us. Thank you. Have a great day today. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
And we'll be watching.
Don't take any guff from Rick Spielman. It's draft day. Just, punch him in the arm for me.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Ryan Wilson, CBS. Fantastic job.
Yeah, no, he's great. He has a podcast with the First Pick with Spielman. Spielman will pull out every three picks and be like, well, I was a GM and you were not. But he's actually, Spielman's an awesome dude. I think he's half kidding, but that's a really great podcast. Ryan's really good. It's so funny. You can feel you get the mock draft out there and he feels like he gave birth to this mock draft. Now he already regrets about seven things in there. Well, he's like, I can't believe it worked out this way, but what was I supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, you got to just sort of fight through the smoke screens,
right.
Try to clear out as much smoke as you possibly can. But this would be a fun one with all these trades.
Right. If one trade screws up his mock draft, then the whole thing falls off. It's like dominoes. It's tough.
The business they have chosen. Okay. We get back to the top of the draft and these quarterbacks next. Who's going where? And most importantly, who should be avoiding a mistake tonight? And how do they do that? We've got advice galore next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.